not ashamed of the gospel, the good news about salvation through Messiah Jesus, because this message and this message alone is the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes the message and then becomes loyal to the three-in-one God of Israel. First to the Jewish people and then to the Gentiles. Shalom to the Faith Talk 1500 audience. This is Rabbi Lauren coming to you live by Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael. And we have Rabbi Glenn with us by telephone. Shalom, Rabbi Glenn.
Shalom, Rabbi Lauren. Great to be with you today.
And great to have both of us together. And Rabbi Glenn, we want to continue something that we began last week, and that is the issue of being a member of a good Christian church or a good Messianic Jewish congregation like Shema Yisrael, a good New Covenant community that belongs to the three-in-one God. That is so important. Being an active member of a good church, a good Messianic synagogue, should be at the very center of our life and the lives of our families. It's one of the most important things that we can do.
Absolutely. It's a spiritual discipline. It's a responsibility. It's a God-given biblical mandate for us. And it's something, Rabbi Lauren, that we should build into our lives and our families. It's something that needs to be intentional. You know, the writer of Hebrews, and you and I really appreciate this particular New Testament epistle, the writer of the Hebrews told us in chapter 10, verse 25, that we should not forsake our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. You notice even 2,000 years ago, there were these spiritual lone rangers. And the writer of Hebrews, writing to the faithful, says that shouldn't be the way it is with us.
Exactly. Hebrews 13:17 says this: obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them, because they keep watch over your souls. They keep watch. They're on guard. God has raised them up to help them protect your souls. They will be those who give an account of their ministry. So let them do this with joy and not with grief, because that would be unprofitable for you. It would be beneficial if you gave your spiritual leaders a hard time. So, Rabbi Glenn, that implies that you've got to be part of a new covenant community with God-ordained spiritual leaders. You have to submit to them. They have to know you. You have to know them. You have to be an active member of a good church or a Messianic Jewish community.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to do that if you don't show up, if you're sitting at home and, you know, there are these people you and I have met who say, oh, you know, I don't go to church. I don't need that. I watch it on TV or I listen to radio, and you and I are all for good Christian and Messianic radio. But the point is, it cannot ever be seen as a replacement or a substitute for assembling together with God's people. In fact, Rabbi Lauren, Proverbs 18 has something negative to say about it. It says, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. So somebody who is refusing, now we're not talking about somebody who's unable for whatever reason temporarily, but we're talking about somebody who refuses to gather together on a regular basis and be a member of a good Bible-teaching congregation, that they have their own agenda, their own desire, and this is the kind of person who quarrels against all sound wisdom.
Yes, God has not designed us to isolate ourselves from others. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. It's tragic, Rabbi Glenn. It's wrong when Christians and Messianic Jews separate themselves from a good New Covenant community and think that they can serve the Lord and live for the Lord on their own. They can't. They will never grow properly or spiritually. They're fighting God's design. They're going to suffer as a result. Their families are going to suffer. And the New Covenant community, which could be benefited by their involvement and their gifts, is going to be hurt. Everyone gets hurt in this separation.
Yeah. And so we had begun to talk about the idea that it's important to be part of a good, healthy church or Messianic congregation. It's an extremely important decision, one of the most important decisions we'll ever make. And so we began to talk about some of the characteristics that are the hallmarks of a good, healthy, biblical congregation.
And the first one that we started off with is male leadership, not female leadership. That's out of order. There's nothing ambiguous about Rabbi Paul's words to Timothy. A woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. I don't allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. And again, in 1 Timothy, a bishop, an overseer, a pastor must be the husband of one wife. I feel so strongly about that, Rabbi Glenn.
I agree, and we have seen, both you and I individually, but we've seen even on a larger scale here in the United States, and I might add in Europe as well, the disastrous effects of departing from the biblical standard of male leadership. Now, you and I are not suggesting in any way, shape, or form that women don't have a vital and extremely important role to play and can have some leadership roles, but not as the pastor of a church. The scriptures simply don't allow for that. We've seen people who might argue on the basis of certain biblical exceptions, such as Deborah, who was a judge in Israel, but this was during an exceptionally bad time in Israel, and there was a dearth of male leadership. So clearly the norm in Scripture is that a man should be leading. And Rabbi Lauren, those congregations and even denominations that have veered off from that have found themselves going into even murkier waters as time went on.
Things go with things, Rabbi Glenn. You can't keep proper boundaries in one issue, one area. It tends to spill over into other issues and other areas. God created an order among human beings. There's a creation order. The man is the head of his home. He's the head of the wife. Even if his wife is more gifted in some ways than he is, smarter than he is, he's still the head of the home. And the woman needs to respect his male leadership. God's word, not our talent, must be the determinative factor in family leadership. And just, Rabbi Glenn, as the man is the head of the home, and the home functions properly when the man is the leader, so the church is really like a big family. It's like a big home. And the church needs to be administrated by the man who is the head of the spiritual home as well as the family home.
Yeah, and you know, Rabbi Lauren, now that I think about it, when you've got a household and the woman is running the show and the woman is making the decisions and the woman is leading it, that's dysfunctional. We don't want God's household to be dysfunctional. And then you and I went on the other day to talk about what makes for a good leader, aside from, you know, it should be a man as the pastor of a church. What are the characteristics that make for a good leader in a church? And we talked about the fact that a pastor, a messianic rabbi, a good leader needs to be courageous, not capitulating to societal changes or trying to get along with everybody. Somebody who's courageous and willing to take proper stands. Is this pastor like a John the Baptist or like one of the prophets of old or even one of the preachers in the early American churches, you know, willing to courageously address very important spiritual issues, talking about the reality of sin, the reality of hell and heaven and the decision that needs to be made, the reality of salvation through Messiah Yeshua alone. You know, if the church is not making much of a dent in the culture today, it's really because of weak, wimpy pastors.
Exactly. I agree. Leaders need to be courageous and speak out on key spiritual issues, and not just spiritual issues, Rabbi Glenn, like heaven and hell and salvation through Messiah alone, but they need to courageously address key moral issues of the day from a biblical perspective, like the abomination of abortion and homosexuality, that it's wrong, and that divorce without biblical grounds is so wrong and so destructive, as is sex outside of marriage. Leaders need to be committed to moral absolutes and clearly communicate these moral absolutes, and that's what we need to be looking for in our pastors. And Rabbi Glenn, if a pastor is not clear and decisive about these moral and spiritual issues, I think the people who are listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher, I think they can go to them and say, Pastor, I want you to take a strong, clear stand about these key moral and spiritual issues. Pastor, you're not here to make friends. You're here to give us the whole counsel of God and to warn us. And I want to encourage you to speak strongly and decisively, and I'll stand by you, Pastor, and I'll support you. Rabbi Glenn, if you and I had people coming to us like that, we would listen to them, wouldn't we?
Absolutely, absolutely. But this really goes to the issue of a leader needs to be courageous. They need their primary goal needs to be, I want to glorify the Lord. I want to glorify his son, Yeshua, Jesus. I'm not in this to try to make as many friends as I can. I'm not in this to fill as many pews as I can. Once it becomes about numbers and about worldly models of success, then we are going down a disastrous path. And I'm sad to say, Rabbi Lauren, just too many members of the clergy have lost sight of our first calling, which is to glorify the Lord and to make his son known, and have gotten into this idea, well, we need to change up the way we're doing everything so we can fill the pews.
Exactly. And that's a deadly mistake, Rabbi Glenn. It's counting numbers instead of honoring God. It's going for the wrong things, and it starts corrupting a man's ministry. Well, here's another
things,
one that
I, things go with things. As you
things
said.
Go with things. They do. Here's another one that I think we need to look for in spiritual leaders. Just as men of God need to be clear about key moral issues and key spiritual issues, I think they have to be clear about key religious issues. And I'm talking about the Protestant-Catholic divide. Rabbi Glenn, you and I don't believe that the Protestant Reformation was a mistake. We believe that men like Martin Luther and John Calvin knew the really egregious theological and practical errors that were going on in the Catholic Church, and they were willing to protest these really serious errors, hence the name Protestantism, because they were protesting these very serious errors. And these errors still exist. And I think, you know, there is this huge divide between Catholics and Protestants. It needs to be acknowledged and spoken about.
Yes, and we can do it without casting aspersions on individuals, which we're not called to do anyway. But if we're going to be faithful to the gospel itself, then those traditions that contravene the word of God need to be jettisoned. And to the extent that an institution is unwilling to part with errors or have veered from biblical fidelity, I think those institutions have become corrupted. And so, you know, those who are looking, wanting to be part of a good church need to realize that this needs to be a church where scripture, not man-made tradition, comes first. And much as we would like to all get along, that's not happening in the Roman Catholic Church.
Rabbi Glenn, we cannot be teaching people that they can pray to anyone other than God. They can be praying to Mary and the saints. That's just really wrong. We can't be telling people that, you know, salvation is dished out incrementally through sacraments. We got to be teaching people that salvation is by God's grace alone, by our faith alone, according to the scriptures alone, not, you know, traditions or the writings of men.
Yes, so it's important not just to be in fellowship in a church, but it needs to be a church with good leadership. It needs to be a church that's dedicated to scripture and not to tradition. Not all tradition is bad, but anytime tradition creates tension between itself and the scriptures, we've got to go with the word of God. Which, Rabbi Lauren, leads to the next thing, and that is, and you could address this for us, a commitment to biblical inerrancy, a commitment to the doctrine of the inspiration, the divine inspiration of Scripture. This is crucial.
It is absolutely crucial. It's one of the most foundational, you know, things that we have, the inerrancy of the Word of God, that there's no errors in the Word of God. It's divinely inspired and accurate. And Rabbi Glenn, it might surprise—I don't know if it was surprise some of the Faith Talk 1500 audience to find out that there are, you know, pastors and denominations that are not committed to the inerrancy of Scripture, who believe that there are errors in the Word of God and the Bible is not divinely inspired. There's you know, men out there who teach that, and there are denominations that do not stand for inerrancy and inspiration.
You're right. And, you know, folks, those of you listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher, and by the way, we just want to say that we are so glad that you're listening to this program. Rabbi Lorna had a couple of people tell me just today that they've been listening and really enjoying it. But one of the things, folks, when you go to a church, especially you're there for the first time, you want to know, is this perhaps the place for me? One of the things you should ask to see is the doctrinal statement of that church and of that denomination, because this is huge. It's not just, you're not going just to hang out with people. It's not a country club. It's not a feel-good thing. It's about truth. And so one of the things you want to know is this particular church, is this particular denomination committed to biblical inerrancy, believing in the divine inspiration of Scripture, that it is right, that it is accurate on all things that it speaks to, and that includes, Rabbi Lauren, history as well as theology?
Yes, and there's good reason to insist that the church stands for biblical inerrancy, no errors, and inspiration. The phrases, thus says the Lord, and the word of the Lord are used hundreds of times in the Bible. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the claim is made that God inspired it. All Scripture is inspired by God, which means that God is the author of the Bible. The human writers produced a product which, while it was their own, was also the word of the living God. All Scripture, Rabbi Glenn, is breathed on by God, divinely inspired.
You know, even Rabbi Paul taught the inspiration of every part of the Bible, every letter, when he based an argument in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, on one word, zerah, seed, and not the plural, zeraim, seed. So even the choices of words, though human authors gave it their own personality, every aspect of it is divinely inspired. Paul wrote, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds. And he's quoting Genesis 13, 15, and 17, 8, as referring to many, but rather to one and to your seed, that is Messiah. And with claims like this, we would expect that the Bible would meet or exceed the highest standards for accuracy. And of course, Rabbi Lauren, it does.
So, Rabbi Glenn, you know, we must accept what the Bible says about itself, that it is the divinely inspired, accurate, inerrant, no error, word of God. The denomination, the church, the leadership must honor that. Otherwise, that church, that denomination, that leader is not, you know, he's just completely removing this foundation of the word of God. And so we must stand on the basis that Genesis 1 through 11 is real history, not myth. Because, Rabbi Glenn, there are spiritual leaders who believe that it's myth, not real history, that Adam and Eve were real people, that there was a real worldwide flood that destroyed most of the planet. We must accept the historicity of the Bible, things like the resurrection of Jesus literally from the dead, the parting of the Red Sea, the miracles. We must stand for the Word of God.
Absolutely. And, you know, Rabbi Lauren, going along with that is we would want to warn our listeners not to become part of any church or denomination that adds to the Scriptures additional books and puts them at the same level. For example, the Roman Catholic Church has the Apocrypha. The Mormons have these books, The Pearl of Great Price, Doctrine and Covenants. The Jehovah's Witnesses have additional books. Various cult groups, the Unification Church has this book called The Divine Principle. All of these groups that add to the Scriptures and put their own writings on the same level with Scripture are to be shunned and avoided at all costs. So you want to be careful. The Scripture is sufficient. When somebody says, oh, no, you need our extra book here, Doctrine and Covenants, to really help you understand it, that's not true, and that's something you want to run the other direction from. Don't add to the Scripture, and we don't mean just adding verses. We mean adding books.
Exactly. Rabbi Glenn, another key thing to look for in a good church is that it must be Trinitarian, which means three in one, that there's only one God, the Creator God, but somehow, in some mysterious way that's hard for us to understand, but we are still committed to believe it, that God is one and yet three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, persons, not forces, not impersonal forces, and That is just so crucial. That's one of the key things that we need to be looking for.
Absolutely, because errors concerning the Godhead beget disastrous errors. I mean, we are talking about the issue of the deity, the eternal nature of the Son of God, and there are vast numbers, well, maybe that's exaggerated, but there are thousands of people right here in the Metro Detroit area who are part of oneness Pentecostal churches that deny the Trinity, and that is something you absolutely separate yourself over. That is not some little issue, well, we believe in baptizing by immersion, or we believe in baptizing by sprinkling. You know, we can differ on secondary things. We cannot afford to be aligned with a church that has erred in matters of the Godhead itself. And folks, you heard it from a couple of nice Jewish boys. Any church that you're going to belong to should be very strong that they believe in the triune nature of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These are three separate persons, yet all part of the one true and living God.
Yes, Rabbi Glenn, one God with three persons, a unity of nature, a distinction of persons, a hierarchy of authority. That's one of my favorite little sayings. You know, God is three and yet one, three distinct persons, yet sharing one nature, a unity of nature, but a hierarchy of authority. God the Father is greater than God the Son in authority and position. And God the Father and God the Son are higher than the Holy Spirit in authority and position. So when the Lord Jesus says, you know, I'm going to my God and your God, the Son of God is saying he has a God. He's talking about his Father, who is higher than the Son in authority and position, sharing the same eternal nature of deity, distinction of persons, but a hierarchy of position and authority.
And you know, Rabbi Loren, the danger of being associated with a church that is in error concerning the Trinity is that it begets other errors which really can affect a person's eternal life. A church that is going to make an error concerning the very nature of God tends to make errors concerning the nature of salvation. It would be very easy for a church that is making errors about God to make errors about how is a person saved, and could very easily drift into a works-based salvation, which won't even produce salvation. It'll produce damnation. So this is not a little thing. This is extremely important.
It is, Rabbi Glenn, and we're going to have to stop there about some of these key issues to look for in a good church. Again, being an active member of a good church with good spiritual leadership is so important, and that's something that we want to invest in and commit ourselves to. And Rabbi Glenn, if we find a good community, we don't just want to go and hear and sing a song or two and throw some money in the plate and then leave. We want to get connected there. We want to get to know the leadership there, and we want them to get to know us because they watch over our souls. We want to serve the Lord there. We want to do something in the community to help the community grow from within. And then we also want to witness to those who are with outside of the community of salvation. And if we find a good community, we want to stay loyal to it. And, you know, we don't want to be a church hopper where the grass is greener and, you know, there's always a better, you know, a slightly better church. So that's where we want to go.
It might be a little strong to say, but just going to a church and never making any kind of commitment to it is sort of like shacking up. Well, yeah, I really care about this person. Well, do you care enough to make a commitment?
Well, that's a really good point. Well, we're not finished with this topic of becoming a member of a good church, a good Messianic Jewish congregation. And we just want to encourage everyone who might be listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher to take this seriously. Being a member of a good church, a good Messianic synagogue is so important. It has to be at the very center of our life and the life of our families. It's one of the very most important things that we can ever do. So we want to do it wisely. We want to do it well. And Rabbi Glenn, we're going to talk more about being a member of a good church and a good Messianic congregation. There's a lot more to be said. We won't be able to do it tomorrow, but maybe, Lord willing, we'll be able to continue this conversation on Thursday and on Friday. And speaking of good Messianic congregations, of course, we can recommend Congregation Shema Yisrael, which meets in Bloomfield Hills Saturday mornings at 10:30. And so for all of us who are part of Congregation Shema Yisrael, thank you for listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher today. We look forward to being back with you tomorrow. Shalom, shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.